You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly. I'd like to take just a moment and invite you out to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through a study of the book of Exodus. It's called Exiting Egypt, as the book we're using as our study guide as we go through and through the book of Exodus. It's written by Julie West. You can go back and listen to some of the programs that we recorded with her earlier in 2026. Fantastic book. Thought-provoking book. Gives you things that you want to look in at yourself in the mirror and say, how do I implement this in my life? How do I guard against some of the tactics of the enemy? So that's tonight at 7. Hopefully you can come and join us and be a part of that. We have a kids class. We also have a young adult Bible study. Come and join us as we dive into the Word of God. So I believe that the more that we feast on God's Word, the greater benefit it is. I don't go to the Word just to look for a sermon. I don't go to the Word just to look for something to share here on the radio. I have my own personal spiritual enrichment to do, and you know, that's above and beyond the things that I am teaching. When I first moved to Florida and went to a minister's meeting, there were several things that we were given as a young minister to be on the guard to look at, and that was, if you ever find yourself not studying the Word of God for anything other than just a sermon, be careful. You're on dangerous ground. If you ever find yourself not honoring the Lord with your finances, be careful. You're on dangerous ground. And if you ever stop talking to the lover of your soul, which is God, be careful. You're on dangerous ground. They said, from all of the fallen ministers that we have dealt with, those three indicators were fairly common in fallen and victimized, not victimized by anybody, any other person, but people who their call, their relationship with God suffered because of one of those three areas in their life. So hopefully you'll join us in studying the Word of God, not just for habit's sake, but to make sure that you are hearing the Word of God and believing what God has to say. So that's tonight, 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. We are going to go back to John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 28 through 30, through verse 30. Actually, we'll go a little further. We'll drop on down to verse number 34. So it says there, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. So that's where we're going to conclude our reading for the time being. We had talked about yesterday that Jesus has been commissioned with the responsibility, the authority, and the jurisdiction of judgment, and it comes to do with the result that those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I want to remind you that not being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ does not lead to just future condemnation. It is reflective of your current spiritual state. One of the head scratching things for me, I'm not afraid to admit that things happen that cause me to scratch my head, is that people who are living in sin will come out and say things like, "Oh, I am so blessed." And for them, that might mean, "Hey, I don't have any financial problems. Look at how well things are going in my family," and things like that. But I will tell you that those things are not indicative of being blessed. Instead, being born again is the primary foundation from which we can say, "I am blessed." And I believe that repentance is the primary blessing. It's the foundational blessing that God has for us that sets us up for blessing in every other area of our life. So verse 30, Jesus repeats a statement he made in verse number 19. "I can of myself do nothing." He doesn't do anything independently of the Father. And he starts talking about how he fulfills the responsibilities that he has been assigned, things that have been put into his care. He says, "As I hear, I judge." As I hear, I judge. Back when judges were commissioned under Moses, they were given the responsibility, "Look, you are not to accept a bribe. You are not to treat people differently because of their social or political status. You are supposed to judge as a representative of God. If a case is too difficult, then you elevate that, or you say, you know, I'm not sure how to handle this, and you put it up into a jurisdiction of someone who can make that decision, again, representing God. Whenever a judicial system is for sale, that is a very dangerous place for a society to be. It will not be long until there is no longer a trust in that society. And you have to ask yourself, what is the foundation for the decisions, for the judgments that are being made? Jesus tells us what his basis for making a decision is. He says this, "As I hear, I judge." Now, that prompts a question. If you've got a decision to make, who are you listening to? Because not all voices are created equal. One of the things that I have noticed here lately is that there are people who are propagating things through social media vehicles trying to sound like they are making a biblical decision, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so it births confusion in the body of Christ. So you need to be careful whose voices you listen to let them influence your judgment-making capabilities. Don't make a decision because I say so. Adam got in trouble because he listened to Eve instead of listening to what God had told him about the thing he was supposed to avoid. One thing, avoid this. Do not partake of that thing. And someone several years ago, I saw this statement, and I believe it was another preacher, and they said God had surrounded Adam with all of these permissible things, things that were placed into his jurisdiction, and he had to walk through all of that to get to the thing, to the one thing he was told was hands off, do not partake of that. And yet he listened to the wrong voice. If you make judgments based on the wrong voice speaking into your ear, if you subject your ear portal, if you will, to the voices of deception, maybe they're voices that are pulling on your emotions. If you make your decisions from the wrong foundation, you're going to make wrong judgments. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. So the answer to the question I asked, who are you listening to? The answer to Jesus, whose voice was he listening to, was he was listening to the Father. Jesus is the Word personified. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He wasn't coming to set up his own agenda. He was coming to fulfill the agenda of heaven. And he said, so the decisions that I make, the judgments that I make, are based upon what God says. I will tell you that societies look a lot different when the Word of God is the foundation than they do when they reject the Word of God as the foundation. So there were major ecclesiastical decisions made by another denomination here in the past few years. It was a very divisive thing. And what had happened was that there were representatives of that denomination from another continent that were still holding on to biblical standards, and they were making their decisions based upon the Word of God, and they were so effective that people who were looking for a different voice, for a different outcome, they said, we got to do something to sideline that voice. I want to tell you, Jesus wasn't sidelining the voice of God. He was prioritizing the Word of God. And that was the basis for his decisions. And he says, and my judgment is righteous. My judgment reflects the right standing I have with the Father. It is representative of our unity. It is representative of the nature of God. It is a righteous judgment. So, I've made this statement. A lot of people, believers and unbelievers, they make decisions, and we're told in the Old Testament we're supposed to use a righteous standard, a consistent standard. So back in the day, they didn't have standardized scales and things like that. People would carry around stones that were supposed to represent certain amounts of weight. Well, people who love money and were looking for ways to gain a little bit of extra profit, if they were going to purchase grain, say, instead, and I'm going to put it in a pound, instead of buying a pound of grain, so they could have three stones. They could have an accurate stone, a heavy stone, and a light stone. So if they were going to buy something, they would pull out a heavy stone and saying, well, this is a pound. They had different titles for it and things like that. And so it may actually be a pound and a quarter. And so when they bought the grain, they would actually be buying a pound and a quarter, and it was only costing them the amount of money for 1 pound. Well, when they would go and sell it, they would pull out a lighter weight that might only weigh 3/4 of a pound. And so they would give the person, so they cheated buying and selling. So, and then if they ever got called into question, they would pull up the standard weight and says, see here, this is the weight we use. And, so they were looking at things as a way for them to get ahead by using an unrighteous standard. Well, there are people who demand grace for themselves, mercy for themselves, but they don't want to demonstrate it to other people. So we see that it happens in the political realm. If you're of a particular political party and it is not advantageous for you to have one particular policy, you're against that policy right now. But if you happen to be the party in power the next time, then you flip-flop and it's like, well, it was true then, but it's not true anymore. It's an unrighteous standard. Justice and righteousness and holiness are the same all of the time. And Jesus said, my judgment is righteous. And he tells us what the proof is. Okay? So if you ask any of those politicians, they will say, well, I'm right. I haven't really changed my position that much. This is just the standard for right now. And they see no problem with their hypocrisy. Okay? As if they forget that there's videotape and audio tape and all of that sort of stuff that shows that they've held the diametrically opposed position before. Listen to what Jesus says is the proof of his righteous judgment, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he says, this is what I'm looking for. That word seek there means it has several different ramifications. It means to seek what is lost. So in this case, if you are making a judgment about righteousness or unrighteousness, you're seeking that which would restore to right relationship with God, because that's what has been lost. A lot of people enable other people in sinful behavior instead of presenting the reality of spiritual conflict to them so that they would turn around, repent, and get their heart right with God. The other thing is that if we're seeking justice, we seek what is due. I want every person in here to realize that the price for my sin and the price for your sin is exactly the same. There are people who want me to discriminate. And I say, you know what? I'm not going to discriminate against anybody. They don't ask me to discriminate racially because they know that that's not going to happen. Our church is a multinational representative church. We have all sorts of different backgrounds that are represented. I believe that heaven is going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and our congregation should look as much like heaven as we possibly can. What people want me to discriminate against, not people at Merit Assembly of God, but people in society, is they want me to discriminate against certain sins and put a stamp of endorsement on some sin, and I refuse to do that. Because if we've sinned in one area of the law, we have violated the whole thing, and the wages of sin is death. And so my response is, why would I want to deprive a person of repentance because everybody has to repent? I've had to repent, and I still have to repent. I picture sin, and I did a visual illustration one time. There was a bug that I placed inside of a large gallon pickle jar. And I asked the youth group at the time, I said, is this bug alive or dead? They said, well, it's alive. And I said, well, it's actually dead. It just doesn't know it yet because eventually it's going to run out of oxygen. There's no food, there's no water, and there's a limited supply of oxygen. That bug is living in an environment of death. It just doesn't know it yet. And I said, what it needs, it's not strong enough to take the lid off. It needs an external agent to come along and to destroy that which is keeping it in captivity to death. And so I took a hammer, I wrapped it up in a blanket. I took a hammer and I smashed it, and the jar shattered into a million pieces. And I said, now, is that bug alive or is it dead? And they said, it's alive. I said, now it is free to go through life fulfilling its purpose, hopefully outside of the church that I was doing the demonstration in. And I said, but here's the thing. There are huge glass shards, and there are small glass shards, and there are medium-sized glass shards, and there are microscopic pieces of glass that if you got one of those stuck in your heel, let me tell you, it would hurt. I said, the Holy Spirit helps us to remove all of those large and small issues out of our life. And it's not to have I got more out than you got. It's like I want all of them out. Whenever there's broken glass around our house, the goal is not to clean up the big chunks. The goal is to get rid of all of it. And that's what God wants to do with our sin. He is seeking what is lost, the justice of God. He is seeking what is due, and that is the righteousness of God. And it is birthed out, it's a search that is birthed out of desire. And there's serious effort that's put into it. And Jesus said, I'm not seeking my own will. Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, but thy will be done. And he was praying intensely, sweating profusely as if he was blood was coming out of his forehead. He said, what I am seeking is the will of the Father who sent me. whenever I make decisions at the church, I have to remember that I have different hats that I wear. And those hats help me to make decisions on behalf of the church. So if I am making a decision, one of the hats that I've got to take off is my personal hat. What is my personal preference? Because as an individual, I'm just that. I'm an individual. I have an opinion. I have likes and dislikes just like everybody else. But that is not the foundation for the decisions that I make. So I might have a temperature preference. I might have a sound preference. I might have a song preference. I might have all sorts of different things. And I don't make those decisions based upon my personal preferences. I have to put on my pastor hat and say, God, what is it that you want? What is it that the sheep need, that the people of this congregation need? And so I make my decisions not on what Bob likes, but I try and make those decisions on what is pleasing and acceptable to the Father. And you can use that same standard in your home, in your business. Someone once said, well, you're the pastor, you get everything that you want. And my response was, then I am really lousy at it, because it's not what I want that is important. It's not even what I strive for. There was a decision that was made. It was exactly the opposite decision of the one that I made. This goes way, way back to the early days of the church. And I came out of that meeting, and I mean, I was hot and bothered. And as I was walking away from the church, God spoke to me and he said, you know, I have to deal with your pride the same way that I deal with everybody else's pride. And I said, yes, sir. Have your way with me. When you're making decisions, make the decisions the way that Jesus makes decisions. Make your decision according to what the Word of God says. Jesus said, I decide by what I hear from the Father. And then also make your decisions based upon this. What is God's will? What is His desire? And I'm going to seek. I want to seek what is lost. I want to seek what is due. I want to make an intentional effort to make the decision that is going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. We'll see you next time here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.